Mimi Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
And if the Secretary of Health and Human Services doesn't know matter how many Americans died from COVID, not let them know if the vaccine helped prevent any deaths, and you are sitting as Secretary of Health and Human Services, how can you be that ignorant?
In a heated hearing, Democratic and Republican senators, two of them doctors, grill Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. over his attacks on vaccines and the firing of the head of the CDC. We'll speak to vaccine expert Dr. Paul Offit, who was recently blocked from participating in an FDA advisory committee. Then the Trump administration's threatening to carry out more military attacks in Latin America under the guise of the war on drugs after the U.S. blew up a boat off the coast of Venezuela.
You see the bags of drugs all over the boat, and they were hit. Obviously, they won't be doing it again. And I think a lot of other people won't be doing it again when they watch that tape.
While President Trump claims the strike targeted drug smugglers, some are questioning if the U.S. actually blew up a boat carrying migrants. We'll speak to the Pulitzer Prize-winning Yale historian Greg Grandin. Plus, we go to Jakarta to look at the mass protests in Indonesia. Human Rights Watch is calling on the Indonesian government to end its crackdown on protesters. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's military says it now controls 40% of Gaza City as its forces expand their assault on densely populated residential areas, including camps for displaced Palestinians. Israeli attacks so far today have killed at least 44 people across the Gaza Strip, including at least seven children. This is Somaya Mikdad, a relative of a family hit by an Israeli strike near Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City Thursday that killed a pregnant woman and her unborn child.
The woman was getting ready to deliver a baby. Here are the diapers for the baby, the baby's clothes, in the month she was due to deliver. What is her fault? This is a people's tent. What is their fault? Is it a war against Hamas or is it a war against the people?
Palestinian health officials say at least 30% of those killed by Israeli attacks are minors, amounting to 28 children or an entire classroom slaughtered every day for nearly 2 years. Meanwhile, a prominent Palestinian academic has starved to death amidst Israel's blockade of food and medicine. Before his death, 60-year-old Omar Harb lost 26 members of his family to Israeli attacks, including his wife, several children, and grandchildren. He died Thursday, reportedly weighing less than 40 kilograms, or 88 pounds. With Harb's death, the number of Palestinians who've died of hunger and malnutrition has soared to at least 370. Meanwhile, Hamas has released a video showing Israeli hostages Guy Gilboa Dalal and Alon Ohel being driven around Gaza City, purportedly on August 28th. The video's release comes after Israeli leaders rejected a Hamas proposal for a comprehensive deal to release remaining hostages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners and an end to Israel's assault. The U.S. Treasury Department announced sanctions Thursday against three prominent Palestinian human rights groups operating in the occupied West Bank and Gaza, citing their support for an international criminal court investigation into Israeli war crimes committed in Gaza, including genocide. In a statement, the Center for Constitutional Rights condemned the U.S. government's sanctions against Al-Haq, Amazan, and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights. CCR writes, quote, "At the height of Israel's U.S.-backed genocide against the Palestinian people, the Trump administration cynically chosen to punish the advocates leading the charge for accountability. This attack cements the United States government's complicity in Israel's crime," CCR writes. In Afghanistan, the death toll from a series of earthquakes has climbed to 2,200 as a third earthquake struck the southeastern part of Afghanistan Thursday. The earthquakes left tens of thousands of people homeless and injured more than 3,600. Many women were left trapped under the rubble due to cultural rules enforced by the Taliban forbidding physical contact between men and women who are not family members. A rescue worker speaking to the New York Times said, quote, "It felt like women were invisible," unquote. In Indonesia, authorities fired a police officer in connection with the death of a food delivery driver killed in Jakarta during an anti-government protest. The protests led by students, workers, and human rights groups have been spreading across Indonesia since last week, drawing attention to lavish spending by politicians as well as police violence. On Wednesday, hundreds of Indonesian women wielding brooms joined protesters who marched on the parliament in Jakarta.
Women are at the heart of the struggle, but our voices are often not heard. One thing that should be considered is the participation of women, how the state has an obligation to value, respect, fulfill, and promote human rights and women's rights, but the state neglects to do so.
We'll go to Jakarta later in the broadcast to speak with Human Rights Watch about the protests. On Capitol Hill, senators grilled Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Thursday over his false claims about vaccines and mass firings and resignations of public health officials at the CDC and other agencies. The hearing opened with Oregon Senator Ron Wyden accusing Kennedy of elevating crackpots and conspiracy theorists while seeking to cut off access to vaccines. Virginia Senator Mark Warner asked Kennedy whether he accepts that a million Americans died from COVID, to which Kennedy replied, "I don't know how many died, and I don't think anybody knows."
The Secretary of Health and Human Services doesn't know matter how many Americans died from COVID, nor doesn't know if the vaccine helped prevent any deaths. And you are sitting as Secretary of Health and Human Services? How can you be that ignorant?
We'll have more on that hearing after headlines. On Thursday, two former top officials at the National Institutes of Health filed whistleblower complaints, saying they were forced out of their leadership positions after they criticized the Trump administration for canceling grants and spreading vaccine skepticism. Separately, ousted CDC Director Susan Munares wrote in an op-ed that Kennedy had her fired after she insisted all recommendations be based on credible data, not ideology or preordained outcomes. We'll be speaking later in the broadcast with Dr. Paul Offit, a vaccine expert at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, who is removed from the Food and Drug Administration's Vaccine Advisory Committee without explanation. President Trump's nominee to serve on the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors said Thursday he has no plans to step down as a senior economic advisor to the president and would instead take an unpaid leave of absence from his White House role while working at the Fed. Stephen Miron's proposal drew sharp criticism from Senate Democrats, who said his confirmation would threaten the U.S. central bank's independence. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren spoke at the start of his confirmation hearing.
Illegally removing a Fed governor is a key step in Trump's scheme to destroy the independence of the Fed and turn it into his own personal toy. He wants to install his lackeys so that we will have a Fed that uses its power to please the president, but that can't be trusted to keep inflation under control.
None of the Republicans in the Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee appeared to oppose Miron's nomination, indicating he's likely to be confirmed. Meanwhile, the Justice Department's launched a criminal investigation into Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook, who's accused of criminal mortgage fraud for listing more than one property as a primary residence when she applied for loans, allegedly to secure lower interest rates. Cook's lawyer said in response the Trump administration is inventing justifications to fire Cook as part of President Trump's pressure campaign against the Fed, an independent government agency. ProPublica reports at least three of President Trump's cabinet members call multiple homes their primary residences on mortgages. In Minneapolis, Vice President J.D. Vance met Wednesday with families and survivors of last week's mass shooting at the Annunciation Catholic Church. Protesters gathered along the route of Vance's motorcade, holding signs reading pro-life equals pro-gun safety and hate won't make America great. On Thursday, CNN reported senior Justice Department officials are weighing proposals to limit transgender people's right to possess firearms because the Minneapolis shooter was a trans woman. According to the Violence Prevention Project, 98% of mass shooters in the United States are men and boys. Less than 1% are trans people. Republican leaders of both the House and Senate will reportedly not hold votes to extend President Trump's takeover of the Washington, D.C. police force before it expires next week. This comes after D.C.'s attorney general filed a federal lawsuit seeking to have the deployment declared unlawful and disbanded, and after a federal magistrate judge condemned what he called implausible, illegal, and immoral, unquote, prosecutions of defendants accused of felonies after they were swept up for relatively minor offenses. Meanwhile, the Justice Department Thursday sued Boston over its sanctuary policy limiting cooperation between city police and federal immigration agents. And in Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker says he expects the Trump administration to deploy a surge of ICE agents to Chicago this weekend, and that Trump could use resulting protests to deploy National Guard troops despite the governor's objections. Northwestern University's president, Michael Shill, has announced he will resign. This comes after the Trump administration froze $790 million in research funding to Northwestern back in April. Shill had testified on Capitol Hill last year about alleged anti-Semitism on campus and was grilled by Republican lawmakers about negotiating with pro-Palestinian student organizers to end protests on campus. Shill's resignation came a day after Harvard won a landmark lawsuit challenging the Trump administration for similarly withholding research funds. In Harvard's case, it was more than $2 billion. A federal appeals court ruled Thursday that the Immigration Detention Center in Florida Everglades Swamp, dubbed Alligator Alcatraz by the Republicans, can continue operating. The ruling blocks a lower court's ruling that ordered state and federal agencies to shut down the Immigration and Customs Enforcement jail. Meanwhile, the Trump administration says it's using the notorious Angola State Prison in Louisiana to incarcerate undocumented immigrants held by ICE. Republican Governor Jeff Landry was joined outside the prison Wednesday by Attorney General Pam Bondi and Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem as they announced plans to house more than 400 men inside, half of whom are due to arrive by the end of the month. President Trump signing an executive order today renaming the Department of Defense the Department of War, the title it held for over 150 years until just after the Second World War, when the name was changed through an act of Congress. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, who's consistently referred to U.S. soldiers as warriors, will now have the title of Secretary of War. The Pentagon says two Venezuelan F-16 fighter jets flew near a U.S. naval warship in international waters near Venezuela Thursday, describing the incident as a show of force. The reported incident came as senior Trump administration officials are refusing to provide proof of their claims that a U.S. military strike that blew up a boat in the Caribbean earlier this week was carrying drugs from Venezuela. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said Wednesday he watched a live video feed of an operation that the vessel targeted by the Pentagon was operated by the Tren de Aragua gang. But Hegseth provided no evidence to back the claims. Venezuela's communication minister claimed the video was a fake made with artificial intelligence. Meanwhile, President Nicolas Maduro announced he's mobilizing over 8 million people into the National Bolivarian Militia to defend Venezuela against U.S. aggression. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. And here in New York City, Mayor Eric Adams reportedly considering dropping out of the mayoral race after he met with one of President Trump's closest advisors, Steve Witkoff, this week in Florida. Speaking to reporters, President Trump confirmed he's paying close attention to the mayoral race, saying, quote, "I would like to see two people drop out and have it be one-on-one," unquote. The New York Times reports Trump is considering offering Adams and Republican candidate Curtis Sliwa positions in his administration to clear clear the field for former Governor Andrew Cuomo to challenge Zohran Mamdani in the general election after Mamdani defeated Cuomo in the Democratic primary in June. Mamdani spoke out Wednesday about Trump's interference in New York City politics.
We are talking about a mayor who was facing an indictment that was then dropped by this administration to ensure greater collaboration with the immigration directives of this administration, now being considered for a job offer such that he would drop out of a race to represent this city because of the fact that they believe that would increase the odds of anyone being able to defeat me.
Democratic mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Washington, Democratic and Republican senators, two of them doctors, grilled Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about his attacks on vaccines and ongoing turmoil at the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. The hearing came a week after RFK fired the head of the CDC, Susan Meneses, just over a month after she was confirmed to the position. On Thursday, two former top officials at the National Institutes of Health filed whistleblower complaints saying they were forced out of their leadership positions after they criticized the Trump administration for canceling grants and spreading vaccine skepticism. In June, Kennedy fired all 17 expert members of a CDC vaccine advisory panel. Health officials inside and outside the government are increasingly warning about Kennedy's actions. Three senior CDC officials resigned in protest last week. This week, more than 1,000 current and former HHS workers sent a letter to Congress demanding Kennedy's resignation over his pseudoscientific claims and his attacks on public health. Nine former CDC directors recently wrote in the New York Times, Kennedy's endangering the health of every American. At Thursday's hearing, both Republicans and Democrats grilled Kennedy, with some calling for his resignation. This is Republican Senator Dr. John Barrasso, majority whip in the Senate, a close ally of President Trump. He's an orthopedic surgeon.
So over the last 50 years, vaccines are estimated to have saved 154 million lives worldwide. I support vaccines. I'm a doctor. Vaccines work. Secretary Kennedy, in your confirmation hearings, you promised to uphold the highest standards for vaccines. Since then, I've grown deeply concerned. The public has seen measles outbreaks, leadership in the National Institute of Health questioning the use of mRNA vaccines, the recently confirmed director of Centers for Disease Control and Prevention fired. Americans don't know who to rely on.
That was Republican Senator Dr. John Barrasso of Wyoming. He's number two in the Senate, speaking to HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy. And this is Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia.
Would you accept the fact that 1 million Americans died from COVID?
I don't know how many died.
You're the Secretary of Health and Human Services. You don't have any idea how many Americans died from COVID?
I don't think anybody knows that because there was so much data chaos coming out of the CDC and there was so many perverse incentives.
You don't know the answer of how many Americans died from COVID. This is the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Do you think the vaccine did anything to prevent additional deaths?
Again, I would like to see the data and talk about the data.
You have had this job for 8 months, and you don't know the data about whether the vaccine saved lives?
The problem is that they didn't have the data. The data by the Biden administration absolutely dismal.
Who is politicizing? You're saying the Biden administration politicized all the data? Go back to what Senator Cantwell just said. Go to the Trump Surgeon General.
They fired Dr. Krause. They fired all the people who question the orthodoxy. They fired Dr. Gruber, Dr. Kaus.
The Secretary of Health and Human Services doesn't know matter how many Americans died from COVID. No. Doesn't know if the vaccine helped prevent any deaths. And you are sitting as Secretary of Health and Human Services? How can you be that ignorant?
That was Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia. questioning Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And this is Republican Senator Dr. Bill Cassidy of Louisiana.
I said yesterday, I believe it, that President Trump deserves a Nobel Prize for Operation Warp Speed. If he had been President Obama, he would have gotten it. But because of Operation Warp Speed, forcing the federal government to come to a vaccine development within 10 months when others said it couldn't be done, we saved millions of lives globally, trillions of dollars. We reopened economies, an incredible accomplishment. Mr. Secretary, do you agree with me that the president deserves a Nobel Prize for Operation Warp Speed?
Yeah, absolutely, Senator. Let me ask you,
but you just told Senator Bennett that the COVID vaccine killed more people than COVID.
Wait,
that was a statement.
I did not say that.
Okay, then let me ask, because you also...
Senator, I just want to make clear, I did not say that.
We'll check the record. That's a question of fact. You also said that you were also, as lead attorney for the Children's Health Defense, you engaged in multiple lawsuits attempting to restrict access to the COVID vaccine. Again, it surprises me that you think so highly of Operation Warp Speed when, as an attorney, you attempted to restrict access.
Well, I'm happy to explain why.
I have 3 minutes and 30 seconds left. It also surprises me because you've canceled, or HHS did, but apparently under your direction, $500 million in contracts using the mRNA vaccine platform that was critical to Operation Warp Speed. Again, an accomplishment that I think President Trump should get a Nobel Prize for. You canceled $500 million in contracts.
That's Republican Senator Dr. Bill Cassidy of Louisiana questioning Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. during a highly contentious hearing Thursday. This is more of Senator Cassidy.
You also told Senator Wyden at the outset that you didn't want to take vaccines away from people. And as I conclude, I would like to say this. Because of the conflicting recommendations made about COVID, this is from Eric Erickson, good conservative out of Atlanta, Georgia, occasionally gives me hell. My wife has stage 4 lung cancer. She is one of the people the COVID vaccine actually helps. Thanks to the current mess at HHS, CVS is unable to get her vaccine. Secondly, an email from a physician friend of mine. Hey, Bill, I'm not even sure what I'm asking you, but we're all confused and concerned about who could get the COVID vaccine. We are having our attorney try and render an opinion, but there's no firm guidance and concern about liability if vaccines are given to a patient requested but not on the current CDC list. Pharmacists are requiring a prescription now even for patients over 65, creating a huge headache. I submit these for the record.
Without objection.
I would say effectively we're denying people vaccine.
Senator Cantwell.
I get wrong.
Again, Dr. Cassidy, Louisiana senator, at Thursday's hearing. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s record as HHS is what we're looking at. We're joined by Dr. Paul Offit, director of the Vaccine Education Center and a physician at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. He was just blocked from participating on the FDA Advisory Committee on Vaccines. Dr. Offit is co-inventor of the rotavirus vaccine recommended for universal use in infants by the CDC. Dr. Offit, welcome back to Democracy Now! So you have two doctors, both of them Republican. One of them, Dr. Barrasso, is number two Republican leader in the Senate, severely questioning Kennedy, RFK Jr., along, of course, with the Democrats. Can you address overall what happened yesterday, what you think was most important that came out of it? And we want to really focus on what his position means for access to vaccines in this country.
Well, so Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has a 20-year history of being an anti-vaccine propagandist, science denialist, and conspiracy theorist. Since 2016, he was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year by Children's Health Defense, an anti-vaccine group, to represent them, to represent their anti-vaccine point of view. He's not paid by them anymore. He's paid by us to be the number one public health officer in this country to represent the public's health. But he doesn't. He continues to be the anti-vaccine activist and propagandist that he always was. I mean, he has said that he thinks no vaccine is beneficial. He has said he thinks the COVID vaccines were the deadliest vaccines ever made. He said that if he could go back in time, he would pay anything not to vaccinate his own children. And I think probably the best example of this, and the reason he should have been fired on the spot, was when during this measles epidemic, when we've had an epidemic that has involved probably about 5,000 people in this country, the biggest epidemic we've had in 33 years. We've had two children die, two healthy little girls in West Texas, 6 and 8 year old die. That's the first measles death since 2003. During this epidemic, right after two children had died, he goes on national television and says that measles vaccine kills people every year, which is wrong. He says measles vaccine causes blindness and deafness, which is wrong. He said measles virus, natural measles virus, prevents cancer, prevents heart disease, prevents autoimmune disease. He never owns up to these statements. But he said that during the midst of an epidemic that's the biggest we've had in more than three decades. Right there, Senator Cassidy should have walked into Donald Trump's office and say, this is not the guy. You can still have your MAHA movement, but his anti-vaccine activist is causing children to die unnecessarily. He has to step down.
In June, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. fired all 17 members of the Centers for Disease Control's Vaccine Advisory Panel, accusing the panel of conflicts of interest, replacing them with vaccine skeptics. I want to turn to Colorado's Democratic Senator Michael Bennett grilling RFK Jr. at the Senate Finance Committee hearing. Michael Bennett, the senator from Colorado.
The people you put on the panel, Dr. Robert Malone, claimed that the commonly used mRNA vaccine, quote, causes a form of AIDS and can damage children's, quote, brains, their heart, their immune system, and their ability to have children in the future. Yes or no, Mr. Kennedy?
And Dr. Malone is one of the inventors.
Yes or no? Yes or no? Were you aware that he had that view when you appointed him to this panel?
Dr. Malone is one of the inventors of the mRNA
Mr. Chairman, that statement is not true that Dr. Malone made, just as it wasn't true when you wrote that, quote, African AIDS is entirely different from Western AIDS. Are you aware that another one of these new members, Dr. Levy, wrote that, quote, evidence is mounting and indisputable that mRNA vaccines cause serious harm, including death, especially among young people? Yes or no? Are you aware that he said that?
I wasn't aware he said it, but I think I agree with it.
You agree with it? It's not true.
So that's Senator Bennett questioning RFK Jr. Can you explain what he's talking about, Dr. Paul Offit, and especially the amount of money that has been pulled from mRNA research, which is not just about COVID. It's about cancer and many other diseases.
No, I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a one-man wrecking ball against public health. I mean, for example, when you refer to the $500 million that was withdrawn from BARDA, which is a research development authority in the federal government, I mean, that's looking at things, for example, like mRNA vaccines against bird flu. And you know, although we talk about Operation Warp Speed, which certainly was a tremendous accomplishment, but who were the real heroes of this pandemic? I would argue the real heroes are one, Drew Weissman and Katie Carrico, who in 1997 started working on mRNA technology and were able to ultimately develop that as a vaccine platform, for which they won the Nobel Prize in Medicine. And then the National Institutes of Health. In 2002 and 2003, SARS-1 raised its head in China. And so they started working on an mRNA vaccine against SARS-1. Now, SARS-1 never entered this country, but we had a lot of information when SARS-CoV-2 raised its head in 2019. And that's what BARDA was doing, which that Research Development Authority was doing. They were doing the kind of groundwork so that when, for example, bird flu, if it does become a pandemic, we would be ready. And I think people don't realize that when you see a vaccine with Operation Warp Speed, that's the tip of a much bigger iceberg. I think his tearing down of the public health infrastructure is really hurting us. And when he says that he's not denying people vaccines, nobody has been hurt by his actions more than pregnant women. He has basically said pregnant women are not recommended to receive this vaccine, even though pregnancy is clearly a high-risk complication or situation for people who have COVID. They're 1.5 to 2 times more likely to be hospitalized, more likely to be mechanically ventilated, and more likely to die with COVID than women who are pregnant who are not infected with COVID, or women of reproductive age who have COVID but aren't pregnant. So that's clear. We're the only country in the world.